Cradio.
This is Luke, and you're listening to Cradio. The Sisters of Life are here in Australia for Eyewitness 2012, and we managed to catch up with Sister Catherine Marie to chat about living the charism of life.
For joining me today. I know you only touched down in Australia with the sisters on Wednesday, and you've spent most of that time at the Eyewitness Conference. What have been your impressions so far?
I have to say it's a great joy for us to be back in Australia. I had the privilege of being here for World Youth Day, and I just have taken by how the grace, the seeds that were planted at World Youth Day are bearing fruit. And I almost feel like I can touch the grace in coming back. It's really beautiful. And then the weather, oh my gosh, it's been just gorgeous. So we have thoroughly enjoyed just being here and being with the people.
That's great. Now for those who don't know, because obviously there'd be a lot of people that wouldn't be familiar with the Sisters of Life here in Australia, and you're a relatively new order. Only in the US and Canada at the moment, I believe. Could you share a bit of the background of the community and what you do?
Sure, I'd be happy to. It's really a story of amazing grace. Cardinal O'Connor is the Archbishop Cardinal who founded the Sisters of Life. He was the Archbishop in New York City. And he was a great, great defender and promoter of the culture of life through his time as a bishop, and even before that as he served as a priest. And there's two really key stories that took place that were graces that initiated, that were planted and started at the beginning of the Sisters of Life. And one of those would have been Cardinal O'Connor when he himself was a bishop. He made a retreat in Germany in a Carmelite monastery that is attached to the Dachau concentration camp, which was the concentration camp where many priests were martyred and killed during the Second World War. And so he went and made a retreat there, and during that time he walked around the grounds of the concentration camp, and particularly to the ovens where people had been burned. And he talks about having an experience where he knelt there and put his hand into the oven, and he would describe it was almost like he could feel the ashes that were there. I mean, it had long since been taken out, but almost like he could feel the intermingled ashes of men and women, of Christian, of Jew, of children, a rabbi, priest, and minister. And he was just overcome with horror and asked the Lord, like, good God, how could human beings do this to other human beings? And as he knelt there and prayed, he really made a commitment to the Lord. Wherever I am, whatever I do for the rest of my life, I want to protect and defend the sacredness of life, that this will never happen again. Everything that I can do to protect life, I commit myself to that, Lord. And although, I mean, he wasn't thinking of the Sisters of Life, being Sisters of Life, but in that moment, there's a sense in which a particular grace was given to him. And how profound, like in a place of such darkness and of death, in a concentration camp, that God would bestow on the world a charism and a gift of life. It's like the Holy Spirit just piercing into that darkness, into the death, and planting seeds of life and of hope. And so that's one of the main graces that, in the beginning of the Sisters. Another one that I might share would be the Cardinal, was a great champion of life and did a lot of work, especially in the 1980s, to promote the culture of life in the United States. And there was many, many people doing great work, helping pregnant women in the political arena, in the education arena. And the problem was, it seemed like the harder people worked, the culture of death still seemed to keep going forward. And so he asked the question, like, Lord, like, what's going on? There's all this good work that people are doing, and yet things seem to be getting worse. And as he brought that question to prayer, what the Lord spoke to him was through the gospel in Mark's gospel, chapter 9, where the disciples are trying to cast a demon out of a young boy, and they can't do it. And then Jesus comes and casts it out, no problem. And the disciples then say, well, Lord, how come you could do this? How come you could cast this out? And he says, this kind of demon can only come out through prayer and fasting. And so the cardinal it kind of really spoke to his heart in that. Perhaps what it is that the Lord is saying, this demon of the contempt for human life, the hatred for human life, is only going to be cast out through prayer and fasting. And perhaps at this time in the world, the Holy Spirit is moving to raise up a religious community of women who would be specifically dedicated to protecting and enhancing human life, that they would pray and fast for an end to abortion, for a thriving culture of life. And so those would be two graces that I could share. And just practically, in 1991, there was 8 sisters who began the very first group of Sisters of Life. Cardinal O'Connor founded the community. And then from there, the community has grown now to 76 sisters, serving both in New York and Connecticut and in Toronto. So it's a great blessing.
Wow, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So could I ask a bit about your own background? I know you're from Canada and you're currently at the house there in Toronto. Mm-hmm. How did you first come to meet the sisters and what drew you to them?
That's a great question. when I was in university, I really felt that the Lord was asking me to take a year out to dedicate full time to doing pro-life and chastity work. And so I took a year out of uni and was kind of like, am I crazy? What am I doing? But I really felt the Lord was asking me to do that. And so as I traveled and spoke in schools and worked out of a pro-life office. And one day when I came to work, somebody put an article about the Sisters of Life on my desk at work. So I kind of secretly looked it up on the internet to see, what is this all about? And that was my first introduction to the Sisters of Life. I read the webpage, and you know, it took me a little time to build up the courage to actually call, but I called. And then when I was in third year university, I made a retreat with the sisters, and Cardinal O'Connor at that time encouraged me to finish school and stay in touch with the sisters, you know, stay in touch. And so I would say over those years, as I finished school and, you know, began to work after, I just, the Lord continued to pursue my heart. And I was blessed with a good job and good friends and just the blessings in my life. And yet at the same time, I wanted to do more. I wanted to give myself 100%. And so at a certain point, I really knew that the Lord was asking me to step out and that this was the time now to actually make a commitment to Him and ask if I might enter the Sisters of Life as a postulant and see what, Lord, is it that you desire for my life. So in 2001, I entered the Sisters of Life, and the Lord has been faithful and carried me ever since.
So what is the life of a Sister of Life like? I suppose, what would your average day look like?
Well, you never know what's going to happen. I don't know, average day, that's not the most common thing. It seems like there's different adventures that happen every day. But I think what grounds us and what's our rock would be our prayer. And so you can be assured that every day, each sister spends 4 to 4.5 hours every day in prayer. And that's something that doesn't change. That prayer is always there. Typically what we do is we have the Divine Office praying from the breviary, silent meditation, and Mass in the morning. And so that's like one bookend. And then in the evening, like maybe 5 o'clock, sisters will pray a holy hour, the rosary, and vespers together. And that's kind of the bookend at the other end of the day. And so all the sisters in the community have that time in prayer. And then what changes is like at what time we do apostolic and mission work. And so that changes from convent to convent, depending on what particular mission the community has asked you to serve in at that time.
So I believe you're serving in the House of the Visitation, is that what it's called? So could you talk specifically about the apostolate there?
Sure. So our sisters, one of the missions that we do is called Visitation Mission, and it's like a direct service and care to women who are pregnant and vulnerable to abortion. So it's kind of like in the image of the mystery of the Visitation, where Mary goes in haste to help her cousin Elizabeth. and the sister's desire to have that same spirit, to be able to put everything down and just go in haste, and to be totally present and to uphold any particular woman who may be pregnant and just having a difficult time with that and needing extra love and support. And so I think at the heart of the mission, we would say, is to love each woman with the heart of Christ. And, you know, so much of this culture of death, you know, people choose abortion or choose euthanasia or choose to kill because of fear. And so as we're able to be present with a woman and to listen to those fears, but then to be able to love her and allow love and allow the Lord's light and His love and His truth to penetrate her heart, and those fears are pushed back, and she has the space to be able to make a decision according to her heart. And almost all the women that we speak to and work with, I mean, they don't want to have an abortion. They want to respond to the pregnancy. They want to respond to the baby, but they're terrified. They're not sure how to do that. They feel very alone. And so it's such a great privilege and such a great blessing to share in a woman's life, you know, in a time where she, you know, it's, you know, maybe where she feels like it's a bottom point in her life. And then to be able to see her respond to that with grace and with dignity, it's a real privilege to see these women. They're very heroic.
And sometimes, praise God, sometimes they will decide to have the baby. Mm-hmm. Other times they won't, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But there is still support for those women, the post-abortive women who are really, really sufferers in this pro-choice culture.
Mm-hmm.
So what sort of work do you do with those women?
That's a great question, Sarah. So it's very true. I mean, it's like God has given each one of us free will, and as much as we would, you know, would like desire, would not want any woman to suffer an abortion, and like it's sometimes you're like, can't we just take her home? Like, no, Lord, we don't. You know, I don't. We want to protect her from that suffering of abortion and protect her child. And yet the Lord Himself doesn't open up a hole in the sidewalk, you know, when people go for an abortion, an abortion clinic. He's given us free will. And that's a great suffering, you know, first of all for the women, and then also for the sisters, to walk with somebody and then have them choose abortion. I think that maybe I'll say a word just about us sisters, and for any of you who maybe, you know, have tried to work with somebody who's pregnant and then made a decision for abortion, it's a great suffering, it's a great sorrow, you know? And I think one of the things that the Lord has led me in working that through is just how abortion is such a suffering to the Lord's heart, a sorrow to His heart, and that you know, in sharing that with Him, His grief, the pain that women experience in the loss of life, that in our own sorrow, we are able to comfort Him and be present to Him in that. I think then as far as women who have experienced abortion, we definitely have worked with women, you know, who make a decision to have an abortion, and then within that same week are calling the sisters, wanting to, you know, sisters, you know, I need to talk to somebody, and I just haven't stopped crying since this happened, and definitely the sisters are there, and we'll speak to her and we'll have her come in, and we're blessed in Toronto to have a special ministry, a support group, and healing through one of the archdiocesan missions. And then in New York, the sisters actually do their own, we offer our own hope and healing mission that helps serve men and women who have suffered abortion, especially through retreat work. And it's really the Lord desires to love and to heal and to set free. He desires first that nobody would have to suffer that. And yet if they choose against His will and choose against Him, He's always ready to forgive, as He is any of us.
Your charism, it's really a gift to our church and something that's desperately needed, I think, in Western countries particularly. And thank God He's been blessing you with vocations. I believe you've even had women inquiring from New Zealand and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose on a general level, what advice would you give to women who are discerning generally religious life, but also specifically for the sisters of life if they wanted to find out more or how they might go about inquiring.
Mm-hmm. Well, come Holy Spirit. I think the first, you know, the place to start is that God has given every single one of us, every human person, a vocation, and the fundamental human vocation that we all share is the vocation to love. And so that's the great mission, the great joy of our lives, is to be able to make a gift of ourselves. In Gaudium et Spes, one of the documents from the Second Vatican Council, that says you cannot truly find yourself except by making a gift of yourself. And that each one of us is called to make that gift of self in love. And in order to make that gift, we first have to receive. You can't give what you don't have. And so I think the place to start in any vocation, and particularly in religious life, is we need to let the Lord love us. A religious vocation is something that the Lord initiates, and it's His love capturing a woman's heart that really is what that where things begin. And then a woman seeks then to know, Lord, how is it that you want me to love you in return? Do you want me to love you totally, totally unconditionally, just you as my spouse in religious life? Do you want me to love you as a wife and as a mother through the vocation of marriage and through loving my husband and through loving my children, in the career path that you lead me in, through loving my patients or loving my students or loving those I serve in my work, you know? Like, the Lord shows us, once He fills us, how He wants us to give that love to other people. So that would be my first suggestion. Just let the Lord love you. Spend time in adoration and let Him fill your heart. Let him reveal His love for you, especially in adoration. Avail yourself of the sacraments. The sacrament of confession just removes obstacles from our hearts to be able to know and hear the Lord. I would recommend different things for reading. The document Vita Consecrata, The Consecrated Life, is a document John Paul II wrote that's excellent. Another one that comes to mind is a book called And You Are Christ's. It's a book on virginity written by Father Thomas Dubé. If you're interested in knowing more, if you went onto the Sisters of Life website, there's actually a whole recommended reading list that's there if you'd like to just read more. And these are all books that are informative, but also that speak to the heart, you know, about what religious life is and how beautiful this particular call of the Lord is. And then finally, I might recommend, you know, looking for a spiritual director. And the gift of having a spiritual director, a priest or a lay person who has been trained in spiritual direction, would be to have somebody who can help you recognize how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Not somebody to tell you what to do, it's somebody to help you listen better, to be able to recognize what the Holy Spirit is speaking and moving in your heart. Somebody to help you with the discernment of spirits, like what's the voice of the Lord and what's the voice, you know, my own stuff that I'm thinking or that, you know, other people have said to me, but what's authentically the voice of the Holy Spirit? And a spiritual director also is great in just being able to help lead us in prayer. Like, how, Lord, I want to know how to pray, and then to have somebody help guide you in that. It can be very helpful. So I would say, you know, in religious life, the primary call is a call to consecration, a call to relationship with Christ. And then once a person kind of has a sense, you know, yeah, I really think God is calling me to Himself, then the question becomes, in what way, in what form, in what charism, like which community? And so the work is secondary, the mission is secondary. And that also, though, is an exciting part, to see how it is that God desires you to love and to serve in the world. And so that's when it's great to be able to look on the internet, look up different religious communities. A website that I have found very helpful is CMSWR.org. It's a website of a large number of American communities that all have a great desire to live religious life in a vibrant way, and many of those communities are receiving young vocations, and so it's just encouraging to kind of see the breadth of communities that are available. I know that there's communities right here in Australia that are wonderful, both the Nashville Dominicans, the Owl Mercy Sisters, and there's new communities here also in Sydney that are really, the Lord is really moving in right now. So I'd encourage you to look into that. If you were interested in learning more about the Sisters of Life, I would encourage you to visit the Sisters of Life website, sistersoflife.org. And if you're ever in the United States, come and visit. Come and make a retreat. We would love to have you. So please just be in touch, and the Lord will lead. The Lord will lead.
And while you're in Sydney, for those in the area, you'll be appearing at Theology on Tap on Monday night in Parramatta. And also there'll be a retreat for women on Thursday.
Exactly, exactly. So come on out. It'll be great. We're looking forward to having a great time with all those who come out. The Theology on Tap on Monday night is especially for young adults. And so there'll be a good crowd. So please come on out to that. And then on Thursday, we'll be doing a retreat at Notre Dame University for four women, and it's actually open to women of all ages. And so we have mothers coming, we have young working women, university, high school women. Some of the mothers are going to bring their children. We have childcare available, so we'll look forward to having many people come out. Just maybe a word too on Theology Tap is going to take place at the Commercial Hotel in Parramatta on Monday night.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Sister Catherine. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, my pleasure, really. Thank you.
That was an interview with Sister Catherine Murray from the Sisters of Life. If you'd like to know more about the sisters, you can visit sistersoflife.org. And for more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.